Welcome to the Midday. I'm Norman Gilliland. Stephanie's away today, but we do have John Harbison. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Over there in Stephanie's usual location. John Harbison comes our way about once a year at this time of year. He's the Institute Professor of Music at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, winner of the Pulitzer Prize in 1987, composer of operas and choral works, and also miniatures as well. And he's also founder and artistic director of the Token Creek Chamber Music Festival, which is what you're about right now.
That's correct.
And how many years has it been?
Well, 20-some.
That many?
Yeah.
And always with the concept of just bringing chamber music of a very high quality to some interesting locations.
Right. Chamber music, and in the last decade or so, also jazz music, which, so we're doublers.
Sure. And you play concerts, maybe, what, half of the series of concerts in the barn?
Well, we're pretty much doing everything in the barn now. We were moving out into various parts of the community for a while. But with, particularly since the advent of the jazz, which we are much more comfortable setting up on site, we pretty much kept everything there. We did run out to do some. We took our jazz group to Boston this year, and subgroups of the festival have played our concerts other places. But we're really pretty much in the festival barn now.
It really has kind of got your stamp on it, doesn't it, when you play in that barn?
Well, also it is something that we know now how to manage. I mean, we know how many people we can fit in, and we pretty much are up to dealing with the weather issues and the heat issues and, you know, the kind of things that performers really worry about that,
sure,
that affect a lot of how you can perform. We can control temperature pretty well. We can't control the weather, but we can control the weather inside the room. And we really do enjoy just the comradeship of being on one site, the people that we're working with.
The festival, the Token Creek Chamber Music Festival, goes August 28th through September 5th this year. How many concerts?
There are four concerts, two of which there are tickets still available. That's the Tuesday, August 31, which involves two performers, Judith Gordon and Ryan McAvoy McCullough. The subject will be variations. I'm going to be talking about variations, I think, in a quite specific way, coming off a remark from one of my close colleagues that it was their most hated form of music, which sparked an interest in wanting to say something about it.
Very common form of music, though.
Well,
composers
there you are.
Dealt with variations.
But it was thought-provoking, mm-hmm, to hear the arguments against it. And then the other concert for which there is still some space is Saturday, September 4, which is the first of our two Bach concerts, which involves guests from Emmanuel Music Boston. We've been hoping for some years to be able to bring a couple of the real mainstays of that group. Rosemary and I performed with them now for 40 years. And the oboist who is coming, Peggy Pearson, was also with us at the first cantata performance at Emmanuel Music 40 years ago.
Wow.
Since then, of course, the complete cycle has occurred.
Every cantata of Bach.
Every cantata.
240 or something like
that? Well, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And so we're very happy to be joining up with those two players. And another new player this summer, Heather Whittles, will be joining us as a violinist, who is one of those very frequent young players who comes through the Emmanuel experience, and now she's associate concertmaster out of Glimmerglass. But we've known her now for the last 10 years or so as a developing, very fine young artist. So we have the usual typical mix of performers, of people who have been with us a lot, and then some who are there for the first time.
Domestic and imported, you might say.
Yeah, right.
Before I forget, the Token Creek Chamber Music Festival does have a website where you can find out all this information about ticket availability and which concert happens when. And that is at www.tokencreekfestival.org. And you can also call area code 608-241-2530 1-800-795-5225. Let's hear some of the performers and what they sound like in previous concerts. This one, I guess, would have been from about 3 years ago when you did some, well, you do Bach every year, don't you?
Just about, yeah. Yes, I think we have. This is quite a few years ago. The CD probably says, I think it's around, could be as much as 8 or 10 years back.
And an occasion which included pianist Judith Gordon, as you mentioned, and Christopher Taylor with interesting take on the concerto in C by Bach. What was this? Do we know what the original instrumentation for this concerto was?
Well, this was probably a pair of harpsichords and most likely single strings. I remember on this occasion, the barn being a small place, the strings were out in a kind of flying wedge around the entire auditorium. You'll hear the recording captures some of the randy immediateness of the setup.
And this is the finale, which of the three movements of the concerto in C, which is a fuga vivace. What is it about Bach that really lends itself almost to the effect of a jam session there? I mean, it's, of course, all written down, and yet it seems so spontaneous somehow.
Well, that's the amazing part, I guess, that it is extremely intricate music, very composed, but it seems to come out with a naturalness that is absolutely unmistakable. And with a kind of rhythmic insistence that I think even in the most esoteric moments, there's something about the rhythm that's still communicating something very powerful and life asserting. It's there no matter what instruments you play it on.
So I'm told. I interviewed Ton Copeman years ago, and he said, we got onto that topic a little bit, and he said, Bach is different in that, you know, you can play his instruments or play his music on any number of instruments for which it wasn't written, and it sounds wonderful, but with, and this is, I remember him using this phrase, but with other composers, when you do that, the music is away.
Yeah, Couperin is a funny case of that. I remember having studied harpsichord and played these very evocative pieces of his, and then playing them on piano, I couldn't find the either the charm or the character.
There's some mystique. Will always be some mystique there.
Yeah.
And you have also a pianist coming in this time around. Have you worked before with Mr. McCullough?
Yes, I have. He was a gift, I'd have to say, from my friend Bob Levin, who's also coming to the festival this summer. Who coached him in Sarasota as a young player of amazing distinction. And he got us together. Ryan was playing my first sonata, my second sonata, actually. And then quite happily turned up this summer as a fellow at Tanglewood. I was, of course, in the composition department as chair, but he was in the piano department. We saw quite a bit of each other. He did some amazing playing there. And we decided early in the spring that we wanted to have him as guest. He has put out a remarkable initial CD, remarkable not just because of the kind of playing that you hear there, but it's really an original project, a Polish composer that he simply found, liked, and wanted to play.
A 20th century composer.
Yes. I think his dates are something like 29 to 89.
That's exactly right.
And a composer I didn't know, but Ryan has put out a really fascinating CD of a great number of his works.
Miklós Magyar.
Yeah, and a very original kind of debut CD, and I'm sure that he will go on to do more original and remarkable projects of really all kinds.
We have at hand here is from Magyar's Piano Sonata Number 1, and it's the fourth and final movement, Allegro con Brio, with Ryan McAvoy-McCullough. Tell me how he plays. That's a lot of virtuosity there in a couple of minutes.
He's fascinating to witness because unlike many younger performers who are somewhat choreographic or mimetic of the music, Ryan, nothing really moves but his hands. And he has a kind of mysterious composure about his delivery, which is very striking and in its way quite a theatrical experience. But I think it's probably like performers that most of us have never seen from another era who, for whom it was considered a great virtue to just have a very great calm, physical calm, at the same time that you're producing all of this this virtuosity. It's really fascinating. And who knows, maybe part of a new wave.
counterwave. Piano teachers, don't they always on day one talk about this economy of motion, and it sounds as if he stuck with it.
They talk about that, and then usually something else happens.
Something else happens. You have an oboist coming in, too, to the festival.
We do. A really great player who has been the principal oboist of manual music since day one, 40 years or so, has played probably every Bach cantata that an oboe can play, and for whom I've written quite a bit of music, and Peggy Pearson, and really a player whose instrument really can travel into the vocal area, into the string world, can make sounds like virtually any kind of musical colleague. That's the thing we find really fascinating about her. And we have this piece that I wrote for her and Dawn Upshaw some years ago called Chorale Cantata. Thought it would be nice to hear the two of them do one movement of that, and you get some sense of what people will hear if they come on Saturday to hear Peggy play Obligatos.
Here with Dawn Upshaw. John Harbison wrote that. He wrote it expressly for Dawn Upshaw and Peggy Pearson. So, tailor-made piece. And what's the total context for it?
It's a piece called Chorale Cantata with texts by Luther in English and by my colleague Michael Fried. What we heard was Fried poems, beautifully enunciated, as typically she does, by Dawn Upshaw. And this is a piece I wrote in the mid-90s or early 90s for that pair of performers.
Well, we're going to have the quiz question a little late today, maybe about 3 minutes late, in order to accommodate one more piece. John Harbison is with us today because the Token Creek Chamber Music Festival is about to get underway. It's August 28th through September 5th, and you can get more information about it at www.tokencreekfestival.org. What's this final piece here? This is also in a vocal context.
Well, I wanted our possible audience for Saturday, September 4th, where we still have some tickets available, to get a chance to hear Kendra Colton, who's coming, again, another manual performer, to sing Bach Cantata 84 and this collection of Bach arias. Singer really in that Dawn Upshaw class. I mean, a phenomenal artistic singer. This is a performance from this season, very recently, at Emmanuel Music, of the Haydn Creation. And this is one of the big soprano arias in the Haydn Creation. We're going to catch her entrance. We're going to do a little tailoring here. I want the listeners really to listen to this really extremely high-quality singing. It's the Orchestra of Emmanuel Music is playing, and I'm conducting, and it's a few months ago. And Kendra Colton. Und teilt die Lust.
It's pretty.
Nice singing, yeah.
And she's coming to Chilton
Creek. She is coming. She'll be there Saturday and Sunday, and we still have some seats to hear her.
I'm sure they'll fill quickly after that. John Harbison, always a pleasure to have you with me, and it's been a fast year since your last visit.
Thanks, Norman. Look forward to another.
Token Creek Music Festival, Token Creek Chamber Music Festival, underway from August 28th through September 5th.